This month, once again, there's no progress to report on the erotic front. I'm very sorry. I was thinking of haphazardly cutting things off here, but it's a bit self-serving throwing up the article as it is. So to continue from last time, I thought I would talk a little about my personal view on NTR. Previously, I've written extensively about my thoughts, the circle's stance, on the antagonist, and the heroine. Very big thanks to everyone who responded in the comments. These kinds of posts allow us to verify whether there are any discrepancies in our own definitions and perspectives on the genre, and to learn about different viewpoints that we didn't have before. As a creator, there's a lot to gain from this. With that preface out of the way, I rambled enough about the antagonist and the heroine. This time I thought I would talk about the protagonist. Originally, I intended to include the protagonist in the previous article, but it would have been overly long, so I left him out. Don't worry, he's used to it. The antagonist, heroine, and protagonist are the core trinity. NTR is not complete without all three. Talking about NTR without mentioning him feels like discussing the Three Kingdoms without Shu. Now, onto the cucked, the victim, and often the face of the player, our protagonist. I view the NTR protag as a character that requires a different brush than the other two pillars of the Trinity. Previously, I mentioned that the more scenes of the heroine and the antagonist you include, the more the anxiety and hatred accumulate. But for the protagonist, I actually think it's best to keep his appearances to a minimum. This is because, while the protag is an indispensable ingredient of the story, overmuch depiction can slow down the story's pace, or worse, depending on how the protag comes across, make him feel like a nuisance. In a very unmerciful way of putting it, what most people who paid for your NTR game are here to see are the scenes between the NTR guy and the heroine. The role for the protagonist is to enhance the relationship between these two. This is an extremist viewpoint. Although the protagonist would typically be the most prominent character in the story, in the NTR genre, it feels preferable if they don't stand out too much. Before I start, let me summarize the position of the NTR protag, as defined by myself. The most essential information is the relationship between the heroine and the protagonist. Although they are the protagonist, their role is to contribute to the interactions between the heroine and the antagonist. As much as possible, they should not stand out except when necessary. They serve as the guide for the story from the beginning to the middle. From the middle onwards, they act as the backstage assistant to enhance the erotic scenes. Establishing an NTR protagonist is quite simple. 1. At the beginning of the game, include a monologue where the protagonist starts bragging about his wife. 2. Conclude his bragging with an overly humble, "Such a wife is too good for a simple guy like me." 3. Attach a cute pork riblet to the groin. With this, the foundation is set, and almost all players will recognize, "Ah, this guy is the cuck." However, this is akin to just serving up plain rice. If you hail from the land of the rising sun, white rice alone might suffice as a meal. But all humans yearn to enjoy even rice as decadently as possible. To make our white rice one level better, Chef Manuri will prepare butter and seasoning. That seasoning's name is relationships. The relationship between the protag and the heroine. Is she his wife? His crush? How did they meet? And why does he love her? The more you depict this, the more shocking it becomes when the heroine is stolen away. The relationship between the protag and the NTR guy. Are they enemies? Close friends? What are the moral and dispositional differences between the protagonist and the antagonist? The more you depict this, the more the feeling of "God damn it" increases. Whether or not the protagonist is there to apply these seasonings significantly changes the taste of the rice and is essential in constructing an NTR story. However, as I mentioned before, overdoing it can significantly worsen the tempo. I believe it's important to be selective in including the necessary and cutting out the redundant where possible. For example, let's give our heroine a stock charming trait. She's terrible at cooking. I could take about 10 minutes from the story to depict the trait through an everyday episode with the protagonist. If this information later serves as a catalyst or bait to enhance a later scene with the NTR guy, it is necessary. If it is merely additional information for the heroine's character and doesn't relate to her getting stolen away, it might be better off cut. The necessary. Her poor cooking leads her to start taking lessons from the NTR guy, and she gradually falls under his sway. She grows flattered toward the NTR guy who claims her nasty food is delicious. The redundant. Depicting a clumsy comedy sketch about her poor cooking for the protagonist to portray happy times. Merely highlighting her bad cooking as a charming trait of the heroine. Scenes of the heroine and the protagonist being sweet together are, to put it bluntly, boring scenes. Players endure this boredom thinking that later they will be able to let out endorphins and white pus. Every episode is accompanied with tension in the testicles. If the episodes of giving charming traits to the heroine are not utilized at all in her interactions with the antagonist once NTR begins, those 10 minutes of patience become genuine boredom. I think the majority of NTR players are primarily focused on wanting to see the heroine being taken by the antagonist as soon as possible. The ultimate ideal is to depict the depth of the bond with a heroine and reasons to hate the antagonist in as few scenes as possible. Any events involving the protagonist should also be meaningful scenes for the story's progression. Yet, a sort of cipher for the player, he should refrain from asserting too much influence, a unique and unusual role that is rare in other genres. An aside, the oblivious protagonist. Playing the role of victim, he is the unfortunate actor who must fulfill the duties of a gentleman in enhancing the sexual relations between the heroine and the NTR guy. And so, in proudly bearing this assigned role, he must naturally and inconspicuously fail to notice the heroine being gradually won over by his rival. I feel that the depiction of this failure to notice is the most challenging aspect of writing an NTR story. In some works, there are situations that make you want to shout, "No way you could miss that!" Example 1. She's blushing, out of breath, sweaty, and her shirt buttons are mismatched. I smell cigarette smoke in the air. Must be my imagination. Example 2. This anonymous upload. Her hairstyle and mole position are the same as X-Chan. Must be a coincidence? As if. Of course, these actions are correct and suitable NTR protag moves. So from a scenario writing standpoint, the more oblivious he is, the easier it is to write various creative and erotic NTR situations. Still, too much obliviousness stands out and starts hit like a slapstick comedy. In a lighthearted gag NTR game, this is part of the appeal. But in a dramatic case, it tends to bleed into the surreal. I came home to find my wife getting railed by a stranger. Maybe I walked into the wrong house? It makes you expect a punchline. Personally, I hold eroticism and surrealism as polar opposites. Since surrealism reduces the velocity of my semen, it's a significant issue. The obliviousness of the cuckold is an essential element. But if it requires careful balance, similar to the suddenness of any changes in the heroine's feelings. The more oblivious the character is, the easier it is to write the story. However, relying too much on obliviousness makes the character less relatable, and eventually, he starts to look like a hapless peasant paying taxes to his feudal lord, the NTR guy. I feel that each time obliviousness is repeated, its appeal and freshness, alongside the charm of the protagonist, is diminished. The first instance of obliviousness can be tolerated, with players thinking, well, it's understandable that he wouldn't want to spring to conclusions. But after two or three repetitions, players start to feel, he should definitely be suspicious by now. And by the fifth time, they stop feeling any humanity in the character. From then on, players strongly feel that he is no longer a character, but a prop. If our protagonists were as sharp as Conan or Light Yagami, NTR couldn't happen, which is another problem, though that might be an interesting story in its own way. I think a good and proper NTR protag is moderately oblivious and moderately suspicious. How much obliviousness players can tolerate varies from person to person, but as much as possible, I want to avoid overly contrived scenarios that make players go, really, dude? Huh? What about Yasagur's works? By now I can already imagine what some of you are thinking. Based on all this shit I've been spewing, aren't Kubel and Viscaria rather off? Aren't these high-minded ideals at odds with the actual product? The protagonist's duty, it's to enhance the interactions between the heroine and the NTR guy. The protagonist in Kubel sleeps through the entire story. Obliviousness is an important element for the protagonist. The protagonist in Kubel is innocently comatose the whole time. Cut out unnecessary scenes that don't contribute to NTR. The introduction of Viscaria runs 10 hours long. I know, all right. But jokes aside, there are various reasons for this. This is as good an opportunity as, so allow me to explain my circumstances. Ahim, make excuses. The Curse of Kubel. Due to real-life complications, my budget was about 300,000 yen of saved-up pocket money, and I only had 6 months to develop this game. Being a debut work, the priority was to complete it within the allotted period, so I streamlined things as much as possible, leading to my decision to axe all appearances of the protagonist from the main story. This was a practical decision due to time constraints. Imagine if Sarah were awake. Just to start with, I would need events where he notices the changes in Majitano as she leans towards Basria. Majitano's lies to hide her affair with Basria. Plausible reasons for why Cero's new friends in Caldesta don't tell him. To name a few. Scripting all that in 6 months was uncertain, so I had to leave him comatose, while focusing on how to make it feel like NTR without the presence of the protagonist. I made an attempt at the ultra-minimalist style I mentioned earlier. It may have turned out less impactful as NTR as things stand, but take it as an allowance for my virgin work. Unbinding of Viscaria. I inflicted the world with a ridiculous 10-hour introduction. However, if you notice, the amount time spent establishing the male lead has not significantly increased from Kubel. Viscaria requires a lot of supplementary information. Liedna's charming points, Flamberry's charming points, Hale's charming points, protag scenes, Guska's scumbag points, depictions of the happy McVell family, explanations of the game world, exorcism, curses, so on, depictions of the collapse of everyday routine, adding up and up, resulting in a 10-hour introduction. The scenes with Hale, Flamberry's husband, are now viewable through event items named Hale and Flamberry. Functionally, the childhood episodes between Cero and Majitano in Kubel. You can view up to episode 8 in the demo, with plans for a total of 11, about an hour altogether. A decisive difference in Viscaria is that the male protagonist is awake. This time, without any IRL constraints from the world of adults, I plan to properly depict NTR protag moves that weren't possible in Kubel. In other words, think of this as Kubel with Ciro awake. Summary of the Rare Otoko. The Rare Otoko is an essential pillar of the Trinity, but 1. If they stand out too much, it worsens the tempo. 2. If they're too unobtrusive, it dilutes the NTR feeling, so being invisible isn't good either. 3. Their main contribution is to season the interactions between the heroine and the antagonist. 4. They shouldn't be too oblivious. 5. They shouldn't be too sharp. It's a character role akin to navigating the eye of a needle, and as reward, they're meant to despair over losing their lover. Truly the epitome of masochism. But, because they exist, many deeply immoral erotic works are born into this world. As gentlemen, we must not forget our gratitude towards these dutiful nice guys. We must not let their noble sacrifices go to waste. Let our white tears flow in tribute to them.